Let me take a moment just to pray for us as we come around the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, I do ask that you would abound to us in this space and this time around your Word. Lord, let your Spirit abound. Give us ears to hear, minds to comprehend, and hearts to receive what it is that you have for us, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I don't know if you've ever been in the habit of making a distinction between yourself and other people. You don't need to raise your hands. I appreciated what Joel had shared with the children as well. I think sometimes we can create a great distinction between ourselves and others, even when it comes to the gift of the very grace of God. Jonah, as was read for us, was called, commissioned by God to go and to share with those in Nineveh about the judgment that was to come. And Jonah, out of his own expense, his own trouble, fled to a different location. Went out of his way. Sometimes we think of or talk about going out of our way for the Lord. We can also go out of our way to avoid the Lord. And this is what Jonah does. He goes out of his way to avoid doing what it is that God wants him to do. He goes out of his way to avoid bringing a word from God to a people. Because Jonah had made a distinction between who was worthy of the Word of God, who was worthy of the grace of God, who was worthy of the blessing of God, and who was not. And the Ninevites were not, because they were a horrible people. Do you know any horrible people? Sitting beside you, maybe? This morning, on your way here, a neighbor that you cannot tolerate, a people group that you're uncertain of, the deviants, the outcasts. Interestingly, the very people Jesus was often attracted to in his life and in his ministry. Jesus was often caught, even though he wasn't hiding it. He was quite public about it, eating with sinners and tax collectors, even worse than sinners, the outcast and the hated of his society. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh because they were a people who did not love God. And he fled. And then as was read for us, the word of God came to Jonah again, and Jonah went and he shared, and the thing that he wanted most not to happen, happened. The Ninevites heard the word of God and they repented. Isn't it horrible when somebody repents and they receive the grace of God? I did not want to go to Nineveh, God, because I knew that you were gracious. And I knew that if they repented, you would forgive them. That's why I didn't want to go. Wow. How's your heart this morning? Are there people that you would be hesitant to extend the grace of God to because they just might accept it and get saved? Acts 2:21, there's a beautiful promise. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. No distinction. The grace is for everyone. The grace extends to all. There are none who are outside of the reach of the grace of God found for us in Jesus Christ. I was going to say there was once in my life that I made a distinction between myself and others. That would be a lie. There's many times in my life, but there's one that I will tell you about. When I was living in Portage La Prairie, Manitoba, I was working with Youth for Christ, and we had a fellow living across the street from the drop-in center that I worked at, and he was 6 foot whatever, and he's almost as wide. He wore leather, and old jeans. In the summer, he just wore his leather vest with no shirt underneath. He had a beard that was halfway down his chest, going on to his stomach or his belly. He was a little bit unkempt in different ways. And one night I was closing down the drop-in center, and Brian was this gentleman's name. And Brian had come over. We closed at around 11 o'clock. And Brian came over just as I was closing, and he said, "I want to talk to you." And I said, "I'm busy right now. And if I'm going to be completely honest with you," I thought, "Brian, it's 11. I'm tired. I don't really have time for Brian." If it was somebody else, maybe I would have felt different. I was closing the drop-in. Brian said, "I need to talk to you tonight. Come over to my house when you're closed up and done." And so I closed up the drop-in, and Brian was right across the road at his house. And the thought went through my head, this might be my last day alive. As I crossed the road to Brian's house, and I knocked on his door to let him know I was there. Brian opened his door, and he said, "Come in." I prayed, "Dear Lord, keep me alive." Enter Brian's house, and to my dread, he shut the door behind us. And he said, "Come in and sit down." I sat at this table, and I brought a Bible because I was the minister. Brian was the outcast and the one who needed help. I had made that distinction because of my appearance versus his, because of my social status versus his. So I sat down at the table with my Bible, and Brian saw me with my Bible, and I said, "Brian, let me read you some verses." I had the Romans Road or other things in mind, because Brian was a sinner and he needed the Lord. When Brian saw my Bible, he said, "Oh, that's wonderful, just a minute." And he went and got his Bible. And I said, "Lord, this is not going as planned. Brian needs the Lord," I was so convinced. So I shared a verse with Brian, and then he said, "I've got a favorite too," and he shared a verse with me. And I was still convinced that Brian needed the Lord. There's no way that somebody, and forgive me for saying this, but it was the distinction I had made, there was no way somebody who looked and lived like Brian did could know the Lord. I had made a distinction. I was wrong. Brian and I spent some time with the Bible, and then I offered to pray for Brian, and he returned the favor and prayed for me. As we were leaving, or as I was leaving, and I got to the door, a little less afraid for my life, and Brian did something I'll never forget. He embraced me. And it was true, he did not smell the best. He embraced me. I felt his beard on my face because he was taller than I. And he said, "God loves you." He let me go. I was the one who needed ministered to. I had come into the misconception in my life as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ that my work for Jesus, my work for God, earned me some significant space or place in the presence of God. And my love became connected to, or my understanding rather of the love of God for me became connected to my work for the Lord. And I looked on others who did, from my opinion, nothing for the Lord. And how could God love them? I had made a distinction. And I was so wrong. In Acts 11, and we get the vision in Acts 10 that Peter had, and he gets this vision from the Lord. And this blanket with this food descends, and Peter is told, "Take and eat." And Peter says, "I can't." And it sounds like there was a mix of food in this tent or in this blanket that came down. And in that mix of food, I'm sure that there was some clean food, but there was also unclean, and they would have perhaps touched. And Peter was not going to take any chances of being contaminated. Under the Levitical law and the understanding of the Old Testament and how it was applied, you are not to eat of that which is unclean. The vision, the tent, and the voice of God came once. And Peter said, I can't. It came a second time. And Peter said, I can't. It came a third time. And Peter said, I can't. Does that remind you of anything? Three times, Peter denied hearing the word of the Lord. And was in a position, as Jonah was, instead of hearing what God was saying, instead of hearing what God was calling him to, thought he knew better, and was prepared to hinder the work of the Lord, was prepared to go to Tarshish and avoid what it was that God was calling him to. Missing that a wonderful event had taken place through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Purity, cleanliness, atonement, forgiveness, new life, repentance were now all found and not in outward acts of ritual purity, but in faith and through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, that is the gift of God. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The visitors come and Peter attends to them and he goes and he preaches the gospel to this Gentile gathering. Some refer to this event as the Gentile Pentecost, as the Spirit descends on them as well. He stays long enough to visit with them and, if you've caught it, to eat with them. Wow. Word gets back to the circumcised believers in Judea, the Jewish believers. They had made the distinction as well. Peter, what were you doing? Wait till I tell you what happened. But they're Gentiles. Wait till you hear how God moved. They're uncircumcised. What distinctions do we draw around the grace of God that might hinder the work of God among us? What conclusions do we draw that might hinder where and how the Spirit is moving among us? What limitations do we put on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Spirit? Beautiful word of encouragement for you. I hope you take this as a word of encouragement. I'll start with myself. I am not better than anyone in this room. And neither are you. Is that okay? If that's not okay with you, then this message is for you. None of us have a leg up on anybody. And none of us are better when it comes to the grace of God and Jesus Christ than anyone who walks past these doors Monday through Sunday. Anyone living on your street, anyone in your family, anyone in your community, anyone in this city, anyone in this nation, anyone in this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. Jesus in John's gospel defines eternal life as this: knowing God. Everybody can know God. The question for you, church, body of Christ, those who have put your faith in this good news: will you hear it? Do you believe it? Will you spread it? Or will you draw distinctions and hinder the very work of God in this city? Because somehow you have a special relationship that not everyone can have with God. God's grace is beautiful. God's grace is immense. And we're called to press into it and live it with those we come in contact with. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us. to not hinder your work among us, to not hinder the wonder of the gospel, which tells each and every one that we can come as we are, that we can find your forgiveness and your love through putting our faith in your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to hear the wonder and the broadness and the beauty of this extended invitation to each and every person. Regardless of what they have done, regardless of where they have been, regardless of what they are now doing, regardless of their social status, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of any of that, your grace is sufficient. Your Spirit abounds. And Father, as you sent Jesus, so he sends us. Help us to go to Nineveh. Help us to go to the Gentile. Help us to go to those whom perhaps we have made a distinction with. Lord, we pray today that you would lift the distinction, that you would lift our hardened hearts, that we would no longer hinder but hear your word and proclaim the grace that we ourselves have found. In Jesus' holy name we ask. Amen.